chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. I'll go ahead and stop there. Seek the Lord. Praise his name. Rejoice. Sing psalms. That's why we gather. That's why we come into this house together. We come to worship God, to give him the praise, the honor, the glory that his name is due. And the way that we do that here is we have worship that is canned, so to speak, but we like to call it live worship because you're alive. And even though the worship may not be coming from a live stage, it's live in your heart. And so today I want to make you accountable for making your worship live. That means you have to participate. You have to give God the credit and the glory that he's due for being in your life. Even if you don't know him, he's in your life. Even if you've not met him yet, he's working on your behalf. That's one thing I learned at 19 is that when I got saved, he prepared me all those 19 years to get to know him. And so I want to encourage you today to experience everything that the Lord has for you. Don't leave here with something on the table that he wanted you to take with you. Amen? Amen. Well, let's worship the Lord. Worthy, 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 worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we've heard of your love today. Jesus, we've heard of your love today for us. And Lord, I know that there's always times in our lives, Lord, when we feel away from that love for whatever reason. Like Gay was saying, the effects of life, the busyness of life. Father, right now, I just pray. I ask you, Lord, as your child, Lord, that you would just pour out your love right now on every heart that feels distant. Lord, those in this place right now, Lord, and those who may be listening to my voice, Lord, in the future, pour out your love, Lord, like honey right now. Let their heart just warm. Let their soul just come alive. Let hope fill their hopelessness. Let light fill their darkness. God, you are real. You're the most real thing that there is. We refuse to let the false emotions emulating life affect us any longer. You are reality. And Lord, we choose to let your praise always be on our lips. No matter the circumstances, no matter the situations, Lord, help us to realize, God, that in you, everything will work out. Everything, Lord, in our lives. And I just pray for those that are facing very difficult times right now, Lord, that you would come and be their encouragement. God, that you would raise their hopes and their expectations up in you, Lord, that they will be able to see an answer, God, to this unanswerable question, this impossible circumstance, Lord, that they may be facing. Let you bring hope into their heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, while you're standing, why don't you go say hi to somebody, shake their hand, give them a hug. For some of us, you could wipe our tears. Chantel's become his better half.
give you a hug, Barb. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we have an exciting morning before we send the kids down. We get to dedicate not one, but two babies this morning.
She has something to announce.
Who? Oh, yes. Okay.
So afterwards.
Okay. So, honey, would you come on up? So, David and Tanya, do you want to bring Malachi? And Celinda, do you want to bring Ian? And the grandparents, whoever wants to come and stand.
That could be almost all the church.
Could be almost all the church. But. So this is Ian.
Hello, Ian.
Ian. How old is Ian?
He turned a year old on the 3rd.
A year old. Mm-hmm. You're a year. Do you high five or pound yet?
Nope.
Oh, come on. Boom. That's what I do with all the babies.
Yeah.
I've almost got Malachi trained to do a high five. So. Hey, Malachi.
Train.
Well, you got to, I don't know. What is it? Respond? It's not meant what I said. It's like, how are you doing? How are you doing? We're going to dedicate you. Do you know what that means? It means the Lord's going to touch your heart. What's that?
He's been a crabby. Though.
Always been a little crabby?
So, yeah, so he needs to touch his heart.
Oh, well, would he let me hold him? You going to let me hold you?
Maybe.
We'll see here. Here he is.
Welcome.
This is Ian Jean Hooker. And are we gonna do them both at the same time? Both at the same time. And Malachi G. Martinez. And they're cousins. You're pretty happy, aren't you, Malachi? Ian's not doing too bad, is he? That's good. Well, in our church, and most would be considered Protestant churches, we don't baptize babies. Number one, they wouldn't be able to go under the water very well, I don't think. But and that was funny because last week I said, we're going to be baptizing Malachi. Baptizing him? It's like, oh, no, dedicating, sorry. But we dedicate them to the Lord. And the parents, as their hearts are wanting to serve the Lord and wanting to have the Lord work in their whole family, they come and they bring their babies and we dedicate them. And we do it as a family. This isn't just two pastors, a pastor and his wife dedicating. This is us as their families. This is us saying, you know what, we love each other, we love these families, and we're gonna stand by, and as we bless these babies, do whatever we can to be a part of their lives. Yeah, come on now. Yeah. So right now we're just going to just bless the babies, and then we'll bless the families in a moment. Father, we just thank you right now for Ian and Malachi, Father. We thank you, Lord, for their lives, and they've been a gift, God, to their parents. And Lord, that these children, Lord, are not just going to be, Lord, a heritage, Lord, but they're going to be, Lord, you crafted by you, Lord. Oh, blessings. That's so nice, Malachi. He's helping us. They're going to be crafted by you, Lord, to be who you've called them to be. Lord, that they will grow up, Lord, to know you and walk in your ways. Lord, we thank you for their lives, Lord. We pray whatever gifts you have in them, Lord, however they have been created by you, Lord, that they would fulfill their calling. Yeah, and we just bless them now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to just give everyone that influences their lives the ability to show love, show love, and to show, Lord, your compassion. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to bless the family. Father, we just bless right now Celinda, Lord, and
David and Tanya, Father, and we just thank you, Lord, for these lives, Lord, that are, Lord, seeking after you, Lord, wanting your guidance and direction, Lord, how to raise, Lord, children, how to, God, to be a good parent, Lord. So, Father, we just ask that you'd give them wisdom beyond their years, Lord, and help them, God, to be able to be, Lord, a servant, Lord, even to their children, to help raise them up, God, to be godly men in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You did really well, Ian. He's a big boy.
Mm-hmm. He's a year old and 24 months.
Oh, my goodness. Let me give you guys a hug. Love you.
Thank you,
Pastor Mike.
Malachi, you did so good helping us.
He's ready for us.
I want the boat too, Mom.
Oh, he knows the good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that's the best part, isn't it? Just eating the wrapper. Hallelujah. Love you guys.
Love you.
Yeah, you can sit down.
Okay.
You don't have to. It's pretty nice to stand in here with you. And, yeah, what?
Stay right here.
Just stay right here. Amen.
So I love it when you least expect the quiet ones to want to do something really bold. But this quiet one really wants to do something bold. So I'm going to let you talk. And I'm going to be here and Mom's going to be there. And you're going to do great.
Hi, my name is Elena. And about a few weeks ago, my mom gave each of us, out of us four, $50 to spend on anything we wanted. And at the grocery store. And first of all, not, of course, I wouldn't think of to get anything else but candy, but I thought about it and I'm like, if I had $50 to spend on any food, I'd want to spend it on other people. Because a lot of people don't have the choice to go to $50 and buy whatever they want at the grocery store. So I told this to my mom and she thought it was a good idea. And we laid it off about a week. And we went to church, and Gaylene and Pastor Mike were talking during worship, and they said that something about feeding the hungry and reaching out to people, and I would always, every time they bring it up, I'd nudge my mom, and I'm like, Mom, that means we have to do it now, Mom. And so we talked about it because we didn't know if we needed a permit or anything, so we talked about it to Pastor Mike, and he said that when we did it, we didn't think we even need one. So then a couple of weeks after, we were listening to the radio and they talked about feeding the homeless and that it was a good idea to do reaching out to people. And we wanted to do it. So we got together with a couple of people from church and we got some money to spend on the food. And we wanted to do it at Miller Park, but we're doing it on the 20th at 3. But our location might change because they might be tearing down the tent city that day. So, yeah.
So to clarify all of that, though, she did a great job, did she not? Wow, good job, Sweet Pea. There, on the 20th, which is a Sunday, at 3 o'clock, at Miller Park or another to-be-determined destination, we're going to be joining their family. And we are going to be feeding the homeless, which I am so thankful to say that is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And what an opportune time to do it. So if you're interested, I'd like you to come and see Tara. I think you're going to barbecuing hot dogs. And I am, Pastor and I think we're going to make a bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to hand out to them out as they're leaving so that they'll have food with them. But if anybody would like to help join, go down there with us, whatever, come and see Tara, and Tara would be happy to tell you what everything that needs to be said. But I want to say how proud I am of you, that your heart, when you got that it was selfless. And that's a good thing, and the Lord looks for that. And I'm very, very proud of you. Good job. Okay, so we're going to have the children ages 4 to 10. Come on up. Oh, look at all the babies. Oh. Come on. Hello, my babies. All right. If everybody would just extend their hand this way, we're going to bless our kids. Father, we just thank you for our children. Lord, they are heritage. Father, I just pray you would bless them, that you would touch them and you would guide them. Father, that today their hearts would be awakened to you, to hear from you, and to be able to do what you have them to do. We pray for their destinies, that they would be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus, amen. Out you go.
So last week, Pastor Gay was working downstairs and with the children, and it was just me. And with the topic that I was doing, I felt like she was missing. I kept wanting to look over. Okay, do you have anything? Can you bail me out with this? Can someone go ahead and just start that? So last week, I started what I thought was just going to be one message, but it's ending up being a series. I actually was thinking, okay, do I need to take a break? Because I spoke to someone this week, and it's kind of seems complicated, even though it's not meant to be complicated, but sometimes I can overcomplicate the simple in trying to discover the truth. So maybe that's what I did a little bit. So we were talking about of him, through him, and to him. And last week we covered the of him part. And it's from Romans 11, 33 through 36. Verse 36 is the key verse. I'm going to go ahead and read it here. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be the glory forever. Amen. So looking at verse 36, for of him, and that's what we talked about last week, and through him and to him are all things. And when it says all things, it means all things. And so what it means is that of him and through him and to him, everything exists. There's a scripture in Colossians that says that in him all things consist. They're held together. And so today, I'm going to go ahead and go over this really quickly again. This might have been part of the stuff that was complicated for people. But I kind of made a diagram here, and it's showing him, meaning God. This is God. When it says him, it's talking about God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So it's saying of him, which we found out meant from out of the midst of him, and then through him, because it uses the conjunction and then back to him are all things. So everything in existence kind of cycles in God. There's an Old Testament scripture that says what's happening now has been done before, and what's happening now will be done again, basically. It's in Ecclesiastes, and it's talking about there's really nothing new under the sun. So I kind of thought about this, and I came up with this illustration. I thought, well, that's difficult because I've got God kind of separated. So I thought about it some more, and I said, well, let's say if we go from him, and then the from goes back through him, and then back to him, it creates the infinity symbol. Again, an endless, never-ending situation. Most of us can't even comprehend infinity. Our minds start to go, like, on probably short-circuiting or at least overload or feel like they're going to explode when we start trying to really consider infinity. So today I want to just take a moment to talk about the of him again. Just maybe I can help clarify it to where it really makes sense about how that applies to us. It's one thing to say that all things come from God and we're included in that, but what makes us special in that? And I was actually going to get a pumpkin and start, you know, digging into it, and I thought that could get really messy, and knowing me, I would probably make a really mess of myself and all over. So hopefully the pictures will illustrate it. But the of him really means in the Greek, from the midst of. We learned that last week. So if we look at a pumpkin has things inside of it. You could say that that gentleman or woman who's pulling that stuff out is pulling from the midst of the pumpkin. It's coming from the very center of the pumpkin. It's coming from the makeup of the pumpkin. And there's actually two different properties that is being pulled out of the pumpkin right now. The pulp and the seeds. Now, out of the pulp and out of that stuff, we can make pumpkin pie. Anybody like pumpkin pie? Coming up to Thanksgiving here pretty soon, a lot of people have that as their mainstay on Thanksgiving. How about this one? Pumpkin bread. Hopefully gluten-free pumpkin bread for me, right? It's probably possible. And then a pumpkin chai latte. Let's call that a pumpkin chai latte that you can get. So all of those are taking the pulp. Not the pulp? The meat. What? Okay, I did. The meat? Okay, the meat of the pumpkin, and because of the way that they're utilizing that meat ingredients, they're able to make these different products. Now, all of those different products, the pie, the bread, and the coffee here, consist of the pumpkin. The pumpkin is part of them. Now, of course, God is not a pumpkin, and the meat of the pumpkin cannot really be described truly as the way that God holds all things together and everything consists in him. But it will help give us an illustration about what's really kind of taking place with us. So here we have, you know, the products of the pumpkin meat. The seed, however, which is still from the same pumpkin, has different properties. It has the ability to reproduce. It has the ability to create something, to create life, to let life continue to go on. It has the ability to let the cycle go on. A new pumpkin can be created, as if we look at the next slide. You see that seed then becomes a new pumpkin. And folks, that right there, that seed, is the part that we get from God when we receive him as Lord and Savior. We get the seed of God. We get to be like God, because we're not just receiving something from God, we're receiving God himself. And that's what I was trying to communicate last week. Does that help a little bit? Okay, one person. That's good. Probably was Jesse, right? Yeah, Jesse. Jesse got it last week, but he's getting it even more now. That's good. Yeah, you didn't bail me out enough last week. You had a lot of explaining to do. And okay, so we're going to talk and through him today. So, I'm not going to get too complicated. I just wanted, for those of you who want to know a little bit about the Greek, I won't get really in depth in it. But this is a Greek diagram. It shows the different prepositions and how they're used. Don't try to memorize that. We're going to talk about the through, which is the word dia, which is where we get our word diameter. We get our word dialogue. It's where you talk through something. So we're going to talk about the through today and how that applies to us as Christians. This word is a preposition. Dia means denoting the channel of an act. Now that means, in other words, the way that something goes. The direction that it goes, and it goes through something. I like the help word studies. It says that it means back and forth, to go all the way through. Not just into, but all the way through. That's the picture coming out, going back through, and then coming back round two. And then thoroughly or literally successfully across to the other side. In other words, you can go across the lake. You're going through the lake to the other side. Okay, let's start looking at this from the Bible standpoint. In the beginning was the Word. This is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Goes a lot along with Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. So here we see all things said that they were created for Him, through Him, and to Him. Back here, we now see in this verse that it is, for lack of a better term, emphasizing again, all things were created through Christ. Now, how that exactly works, I don't know. I mean, how did all of creation come through Him is like beyond my own natural mind. But it's good for us to know that Christ is not separated from God. Christ is God, and everything that is from and through Him. Hebrews 2:10 says it this way, "For it was fitting for Him, because of whom are all things, and through whom are all things, having brought many sons to glory, to perfect Him as the author of their salvation through sufferings." That's talking about Jesus' sufferings on the cross. He perfects us, and He was perfected. But it's all through whom are all things. Through whom? That's Jesus. Through whom everything comes. There's nothing that has come outside of Him. Everything that exists has come through Him, except Him Himself. "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." So not only are all things through Him, but it's actually through whom, Him, we live. Who's that? Jesus. Okay. And Colossians 1:20. "For all things were created in Him, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth, the things visible and invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him." I think we probably get the idea that all things come through Him. But just for those of you who need like one more scripture, Colossians 1:20, this is in the God's Word translation. "God was also pleased to bring everything on earth and in heaven back to Himself." We could use this scripture next week as well. "Through Christ." All things, not just people, not just, you know, the what would be considered the redeemable people. It sounds like all things go through Christ back to God. Now, again, how all that works, I don't understand, but He did this by making peace through Christ's blood sacrificed on the cross. Okay, so here's where it gets interesting. The through continues. It's not just that things came through Jesus, but now you and I as believers now move through a process of knowing God by going through Christ. He is the door. He is the way. There's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. It says here in Hebrews 7:5, "Therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." So we come to God through Christ. Now it's interesting, we come out of God, and we originate from God. All of us originate from God. Whether you know Him or not, you have originated from God. Acts 8:17 says, "In Him we live and move and have our being." And that's all creation. That's all people. In Him we live and move and have our being. And so now what we're doing when we know God, we know Christ, we then now create in us a process, or we walk through inside of us a process of going through back to God. Yes? 7:5? Oh, good. Keep me on my toes. 7:25. Those of you taking notes, that's not 7:5. So Hebrews 7:25. Thank you, Jess. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter 18-21. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God. That's us. Through him, we believe in God. See, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's a God. Well, part of the problem is they're not going through Christ. When we go through Christ, all of a sudden, a greater understanding of God himself comes to us. A greater belief of God comes to us. So if you have people say, well, I don't believe in God, say, well, you need to believe in the one that will help you believe in God, and that's Jesus Christ. It says, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Go ahead.
What I want to say here is that in verse 18, where it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, that part right there kind of reminds me of this type of a Christian. I get saved, I still perform all my duties, and hopefully at the end I'll be able to slide right into heaven by doing the traditional things. God's not traditional at all.
That's a good statement.
He isn't. He is so into shaking things up, getting your attention, like he did with me this morning. He is into what he says to you. He wants it to be so yes and amen that he's willing to say it in the oddest way or send it in the oddest way. Predicament or whatever, for you to be able to get it and actually know it is truth. Does that make sense? So if we're getting saved and all we're doing is tradition, the enemy has us really where he wants us, because we are not doing anything
for
the Lord.
So can you define tradition?
Well, it's like people that say, okay, well, when you get saved, now you have to work in a church, and you have to start at the nursery, and then you should do the cleaning, and maybe you can work your way up, and do this, do that, do this. God's not about do this, do that. He's about love you. Relationship. If those things proceeds from that, that's a good thing. If you work in the nursery after you realize who he is for you and in you and through him for, then if the nursery comes up and God says, do it. Like Lana right here. She said, God spoke directly to that girl's heart. That is a message straight from God. You take that $50 and you use it on people that need it. That's complete. I mean, for how old are you, Lana? Alana, how old are you?
13.
She's 13. What 13 of you know won't spend $50 going to get? I mean, I have $50 and I have it earmarked for something. I'm going to tell you right now. I do. But she is just like, she was available with her heart connection with God and to God and through God. Do you understand now what I mean? Let the traditions of your fathers and all that stuff, it's good. It's wonderful. It shapes who we are, but it isn't who we are in Jesus. Who we are in Jesus is on a one-on-one basis with him.
Come on.
And nothing more and nothing less.
Missed you last week. That was good.
And then in verse 20. Sorry.
Go ahead. You're good.
He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For you, not for him. Not for anything other than you. If that's not personal, I don't know what is.
Sounds pretty personal.
Manifest in these last times for you. He didn't want to waste any time. This is all about how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he wants to have a relationship with you, that he would be manifest in these last times for you. Do you walk like he was manifest for you? Do you talk like it? Do you act like it? There's this one gal I was reading a book about, Lisa Turkeritz. How do I say it? Is that right? Proverb Turkeritz or whatever. I don't know how to say her name, and it's long and it's hard. But anyway, you know who I'm talking about, right? Yeah, Turkers. Okay. Proverbs 31. And she was saying how she has a really good friend. And she's atheist. The really good friend is atheist. And Lisa is a Christian. And they actually go to coffee together. They actually work out together. And so they were working out one day, and somehow they got on the conversation of you know, if God were in a person, what would they look like? And she said, I would say God would be you. And here's Lisa all sweaty and puffing and huffing and, you know, this nasty ponytail and, you know, sweat dripping in everywhere. And she's like, me? Like, she's thinking, are you kidding? Like, really? And this woman, her friend, is like, she probably has the body fat of David. Like, she has nothing on there. Everything is lean. Do you know what I mean? And here's Lisa. She's not lean, but she's not. Anyway, Lisa's comparing herself, but she's saying, but here's this woman looking at her and saying, Jesus looks like her and reminds her of her.
The atheist.
The atheist is saying that. And so that's when Lisa knew God put this relationship together for a reason. She's starting to see Jesus in me, whether I meant for it to happen or not. Are we living like that? Are people recognizing that in us? I mean, we have to question ourselves. What good is it if we don't? You guys, we can live on this earth and be, go to church to change you, or go to church because you want to chalk it up for going to church, or go to church to see your best friend, or go to church because you've got a new dress and you want everybody to see it. Do you know what I'm saying? Go to church because you want to be convicted of sin. Go to church because you want to get closer to God. Go to church because you're not going to forsake the fellowship of getting together with your brothers and your sisters. Go to church, but have a relationship with him. Don't do it for any other reason. It's not worth it, and it's a waste of time.
Big waste. No, that's good. So, John 3:17. Most people know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then, right along with it, goes John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Remember that. When you're feeling condemned, when you're feeling guilty, when you're feeling shame, that's not Jesus. Folks, it's not Jesus. He does not condemn us. But that the world through him, might be saved. You know, at one place he said that, you know what, I'm the door. All those who enter by me will be saved. They will go in and out, and they will find pasture. But there's him communicating to his disciples and to those around during that time he was sharing that he is the way. Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So, God doesn't want to pour out his wrath on us. I believe God doesn't want to pour out his wrath on anybody. I believe in the depths of God, he would desire everyone would come to a place of knowing him and walking with him and experiencing his love and growing and becoming who they have been designed to be. In other words, function as they were designed to function, not function dysfunctionally. So, we can be saved from wrath through him. I think
it's
pretty good news.
The wrath of God?
It says from wrath. I would say that it's the wrath that comes from not knowing God. By choosing not to know God through the only way of knowing God, and that's Jesus. I mean, he's pretty clear. John 14:6. How about this one? Jesus said very clearly, said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, what does no one mean?
Nobody.
Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Now, it's easy when we're Christians and we've come to the Father to start looking at people sometimes as, oh, well, they haven't come through the Father. They haven't come through Jesus, you know. And we start almost selling them off. We almost say, like, you know what? They're just, especially if they act evil or they act dysfunctional, they're not being anywhere the way that God created them to be. And we start, you know, selling them short. We start, you know, putting them in the category of wrath of God. But that's not the way it should be. Mm-mm. It should be that we should have the heart of God that realize that even though we may not see it on the outside, we may not see it from their actions, God is at work in them also.
Mm-hmm.
I believe until the very moment we can no longer ask him to be our door, he's working in our hearts for us to be his door.
Well, they are as much a child of God as I am.
That's what it says.
I mean, but do we look at them as though they're even a child of God?
Some people don't.
It's like, oh, Jesus, help me, because with what you judge, you'll be judged. I'm just like, I don't want to be a judgmental person. I don't want to look at someone and them not feel completely accepted by me, because I love the Lord and I want to show them God. I want to show them God. And if I'm showing them anything else, God help me. But they're his kid too.
Mm-hmm. They're not only his kid. And because, you know, but they're of him.
Yeah.
They're from the midst of him. That, you know, it's like he would be denying himself when he has to put wrath on them, because the only reason that they're getting wrath is because they can't receive what he has for them. Does that make sense? Somewhat. 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Also that we might be saved in John 3:17, but that we might live through him. So our very living existence is to be through Christ. Now, I didn't think I was going to share this, and I might regret it, but I've been really seeking in my heart to have a true intimate experience with God. I've known God through his word. I've known God through worship. I've known God through my actions and seeing him in others. All those ways that you can see him in the tangible fleshly realm. I mean, you know, you open his word, you start reading about his life, and you can start to know God. You start reading about the things that he did for Israel, you start to know God. But I've really had a desire over the last probably 4 years to know him face to face, intimately. And I think I had it a little bit when I was first saved. Because I remember sitting on my bed, and it would be 3 a.m, I'd still be awake. And I would just be engaging with him. I wish I could remember all of it, but I remember him telling me things and leading me and doing stuff. And so it's not that I didn't ever have it, but something happened. I think through the traditions, through the gold, the silver, through putting all the pieces of the puzzle together the certain way so that I could say that is a Christian, that I lost the vibrancy of a true, real relationship.
So I've been seeking that. I've been desiring that, to have intimacy, to have a true experience with him. And so the other morning, it was about probably 2-3 weeks ago, I was just spending quiet time with him, just had some music on and just had my eyes closed and was just worshiping him and just loving on him the best way I know how, you know, in all of my inadequacies, you know, I'm loving God, you know, but I'm trying to let him know I'm thankful and grateful. And all of a sudden, and it's amazing, you said walking on the beach. It wasn't the beach then, but I just all of a sudden had this sense that I was walking with Jesus and I was holding his hand. And we were walking together, and I'm just like, "Oh, this is interesting," because you know I've heard of others having an experience like this. Now I didn't see him to the place, you know, like I was like, it was, you know, physical, but in my heart I knew something was happening, and so I'm saying okay to myself. So what's he look like, you know? So I just started asking the question, and it was the craziest thing. He was in jeans and a flannel shirt. So he's just, it tells me he was chilling. He was barefoot. I'm saying, why is he barefoot? He had nail-pierced feet and nail-pierced hands. And that's pretty much ended. I think I was just like getting blown away all of a sudden. You know, like, overload, you know. And so I just kind of, okay, I'm going to go ahead and just chill out and just, you know, just save that for, like, I was an experience. Okay, so fast forward to this morning, and so I'm just spending that quiet time, just preparing my heart and just loving on God, and then all of a sudden it happens again, and we're on a beach together. Footprints in the sand, started seeing footprints in the sand, and I believe his footprints left an indention. And so when I was holding his hand, I sensed the way that he was holding my hand. I said, how's he holding my hand? And I sensed that he, you know how you can grab somebody. You ever tried to go on a prayer meeting? You're both fighting to see who can hold their hand a certain way because you like holding your hand a certain way. And I like holding my hand a certain way. And but he was holding my hand that way. And so I had to come under his hand. And he held his hand over mine. And so this morning, and I'm trying to say all this, it's through him. It's through relationship. It's through something that isn't just supposed to be in a book. It's not just supposed to be, you know, something someone else does. He wants to have relationship with us. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I asked him, I said, why are we doing this? Why are we walking like this? He says, and he said to my heart, I want you to get used to this. And I said, oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
That was 2 weeks ago. So this morning, I realized that I was walking, that as I was holding his hand was cupped, you know, like this, that I could move my hand and I felt his piercings. Why am I saying this? Because I'm telling you it's real. Our relationship is real. And I didn't know I was going to talk about this, but I'm trying to tell you that he wants to have relationship with us. But we have to be quiet. We have to be still. The noise of life, it's not going to happen. Yeah, he'll break through our noise and he'll get our attention enough to say, hey, go look back at your Facebook and stuff. But we got to take time. And maybe it's just turn off the TV. Maybe it's just, you know, when you're driving to work, turn the radio off. You know, it doesn't take a lot. You know, he's not after you, okay, I got to now get up 3 hours earlier to find. No, it's just, can you just give him some time? So I guess what I'm trying to say is that we're of him. We come from the midst of him. And we're not meant to be children that are just, you know, off here autonomously. We're connected with him. We have relationship with him. I always had relationship with him. And I believe he's allowing me to experience this just because that's been my desire. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and ye shall have them. And I don't know if it's part of this is my imagination, but I'm telling you, if my heart's drawing closer to him, then who cares?
Right.
Who cares? If I'm getting closer to Jesus and I'm getting closer to the Father and more intimate with the one who knows everything about me, and the only reason I exist is because of him, then who cares? Mm-hmm. It's about reality. See, the Father wants those to worship him in spirit and in truth, mm-hmm. in reality. He is the way, the reality, and the life. Everything else can become reality to us. Feelings can become reality to us, but they're an illusion. See what the final verse is. Here's our final verse. And oh, is it a good one? For through him, we both, all of us, have access by one Spirit to the Father. We have access. I don't know about you, but when I have access to somebody, that means I can go into their presence. I can go and have relationship with them. I can go and spend time with them. And I don't have to sit there and schedule an appointment all the time. I have access. I mean, you've seen probably some of these government shows, you know, and there's this guy at the front desk, you know, maybe Secretary of State or President or something, and someone comes up and says, do you have an appointment? You know, oh, you're not on his docket today. Oh, yes, you're tomorrow. Well, you can come back tomorrow. And then there's people who just walk right past that person, knock on the door, make sure it's okay, mm-hmm. and they walk in because they have access to that individual. You don't have to set an appointment with God. We're not on that kind of relationship. We're on a relationship that's personal and intimate mm-hmm. and real.
And the person that walks by and then just knocks and makes sure it's okay and then they go in. The person that's in there, whether it be the president or who, they've not changed positions. The person, because of the access that they've gained, the stuff that they've gained, that's what made it accessible to them. Not this person here behind the door didn't change. It was the one that has to wait for the appointment, or it's the one that has complete access. Does that make sense? Because this person back here is still president of the United States. It's what this guy over here that has free access. It's because he's gotten better. He's done this. He's done that to gain that kind of access. What have we done? What have we done to gain access to God?
Well, and it's not even that we have to do something to have access. It's we just have to be who we are to have access.
But we have to. We didn't get married 22 years ago and then not do another thing for the rest of the 22 years.
I'm glad.
Yeah, we had to. We both were in this relationship. That's what God is trying to say.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We're both in this relationship. So we both have to do something to keep this, or 22 years won't happen.
We have to talk to each other.
We have to have relationship.
Yeah.
And we have to have relationship with God. And the whole thing about it is God's been waiting all this time. All this time. On you. Or me.
On us.
Us. Yeah.
And the door is being flung wide open in these days. I mean, this isn't for Pastor Mike, Pastor Gay, or anyone else that shares here on Sunday that seems to have it all together. It's for whosoever will.
We don't have it all together.
We don't have it all together. But a lot of people think pastors have it all together, which hopefully that lie is starting to break down. We're just people. Does anyone else have anything to share? All right.
Maybe it's more like family and sonship.
Family and sonship?
Good way of putting it. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
So someone said, just because people listen to this, someone said, how about this? How about if it's the family of the president who have access? And I'm sure that's even goes up even higher on the echelon. That mm-hmm. And that's who we are. We're sons and daughters. We have access. And it's mm-hmm. through Christ, though. It's through relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you have received him, you now have full access. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? No one?
going. I mean, anyway, this is not. Here you go.
Vicky.
So when I take communion.
Otherwise, I have to repeat it.
So what I am taking from this, what I'm hearing, is that Christ, the scripture says that he was ordained before the foundation of the world, but that Christ is the foundation of our relationship with God.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
Anybody else?
Lisa, I was waiting.
Early on when you were talking, trying to describe the through thing, what I was thinking about was times when we look at our job as our source, and God uses the job that we have to be the source. The source of our income, the source for us, is God. And he puts us, through him, he puts us in certain jobs and he puts us in certain places to do his will. But the key part of that is giving him permission to work in our lives.
Amen.
Because he is a perfect gentleman, as we've heard. But I kept thinking about that. The way to maybe make it a little more clear is that, oh, God, I lost my job. The sky is falling. And, yes, that's detrimental. But when we think of it as our real source is from Christ, our real source is God, then he's going to put us in the place that we need to be. And he is the one that's going to give us the job that we need, the place that we need, and it's no different in salvation. It comes from him, and he lives through us out into the community where we go and feed homeless people, where we go, my job, I go to people who have, I met with a lady on Saturday, no hope, zero, nothing. And I went to her house and I sat down and I talked to her, and when I left, I had the profound sense that Christ had put me in that position to go there and prophesy to some dead bones, to speak life into some dead bones. And so when we are in partnership with Jesus and we allow him, if we are the body,
mm-hmm.
why is it ends mm-hmm. right, that song, we let him move us through us, not that we're puppets, but because we love him and because of our just wanting to serve him, we end up doing things that maybe we'll never know until we stand before him. I mean, things that we've spoken and prayers that we prayed that you've forgotten about, but we stand before Jesus one day and we realize that we were in partnership with him and he was working through us. And it was a partnership, and we were getting things done for the kingdom, and we didn't even know it. But because we let Jesus just shine through us, and we're in partnership with him, and we love him, and we just want to do his will on this earth. Man, imagine what could be done. Imagine. And so I don't know if that helps, but
I believe one of the things that the Lord wants to do is allow us to get used to being with him, to get used to having him by us, in us, working through us. And that takes recollecting, that takes reminding yourself that it's not just you standing alone in a room by yourself waiting to go into the doctor for a report if no one's with you. He's there in you and working through you. You're not alone. And you got to remind yourself of that. And I believe as we condition our hearts, because that's what we're doing. We're renewing our mind. We're conditioning our hearts. We're letting life revelation come into our hearts. Let life flow out of it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're to guard our heart with all diligence, because out of our hearts, proceeds the issues of life. So as we continue to feed our heart with good things, the truth, yeah. reality, then we will start to exhibit that kind of life that we've been feeding our heart with. Amen? One more thing.
He's not going to let me sit down and make a comment. Okay, so for the past 2 weeks, I've been watching somebody die. And the case manager for this guy is a friend of mine, and he's also a chaplain. And the gentleman who died, we don't know for sure. His sister doesn't know for sure if he ever received Christ. But I, and Tony was always telling me I was there for the sister more than for the client I was there for. And so this is going to speak to hope, because when you said that when we can no longer ask him, you know, that's probably when we die. But the Lord has been speaking to me of hope all these 2 weeks. And so in the process of him dying, he was no food, no water, nothing to sustain him for 2 weeks. And he was totally comatose for the most part, most of the time, except for when he was having seizures. And his sister kept asking me, why is he still here? Why is he hanging on? And he has a best friend, the sister of one of his friends who passed away. And I'm going to tell you, this gentleman did not live a correct life. You know, he had AIDS, and he had the PML virus that was destroying his brain. And I kept telling her, there is a battle going on supernaturally that we have no idea about, that we can't see. And his friend was there. His best friend's sister, who was a lifelong friend of his, was there listening to me speak this. And she's a non-believer either, you know, also. And so I just had to keep speaking that we don't know what's going on. Sometimes when you were talking about there are things that we don't see, Lisa, when you said we don't see these things, we don't know what was going on with him, but I know that there are things that he did in his life. He gave so much of his life to other people, to bring money to people who couldn't afford medicine for AIDS. He was an AA sponsor. And if anybody is familiar with AA, it is Christian-based. And there is no way that you can be a part of AA and not know God in some way. And that's what I had to keep telling her. And I was telling her, there's something going on there. There is a battle for your brother. And I know, and I believe in my heart that Christ won. Because he was able to wake up and tell his sister a day and a half before he died, come out of this comatose state for like 5 minutes and tell her, I love you, I love you, I love you. And he hadn't been able to tell her that for a long time and her know that he actually knew that's what he was saying. So Christ is hope. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, of all of this, he's our foundation. But the foundation of our relationship with God is hope. Because without hope, we're dead.
Amen. Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time together. And Lord, we know that you are the one that's working in our lives. And Lord, that we choose today, Lord, to continue to work through you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to find out what it means to walk with you, to talk with you, to experience, Lord, relationship with you. If any of us, God, have had difficulty with that, let your grace, your supernatural empowerment come and help us, Lord, to draw closer to you. Lord, I just thank you, God, that your word is alive and it's real. And Lord, I pray that the seeds of your word that have been planted here today would grow and take fruit. And I just bless everyone here in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless them as they come. Bless them as they go. Bless them as they sleep. Bless them as they wake up. Bless them in their workplaces. Bless them in their family's life. Lord, I just bless your people, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ken, oh yes, 3 p.m. today, right?
Yes, today
is Emerald Care, 3 p.m. Emerald Care is in Wapato. What's that?
It'll be wonderful.
It will be wonderful.
Amen.
Yep. Just come, and it is a time to basically love on individuals who can't really get out, and they're shut-ins for all practical purposes. And I guarantee you go, and you think you're blessing them, they're blessing you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Did you have something, hon? Oh. Okay, well, God bless you. Have a great day, and if you can make it, 3 o'clock. Emerald Care, Wapato.